Why would you do all of these things, give them your things, or risk your own comfort levels for that person? Because you care about their needs, and whatever in their life needs to be fixed, you are willing to sacrifice your own things to do that, because you love them so much. But that's not all that unconditional love is. It goes well beyond just their needs. Unconditional and true love is putting someone else's life entirely above your own life. The ultimate example that we have of this is Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, we have to ask the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? He died because he loved us so much that he saw where we were going without him, which was hell. And he died for our needs so that we did not have to go to hell, so that we had the opportunity through his death to come to him for the forgiveness of the sins we've committed. That is true and unconditional love, being willing to lay down your life for another person. And Jesus shows us that. So we see just from this brief explanation of the word love how serious and important the word is. And so that when we see it in the text, we need to be paying attention to what it means. So now that we've discussed this, let's begin by reading Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. Luke 6, beginning in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So in the beginning, we just simply talked about the magnitude of the word love. And the first thing that Jesus says in what we just read is to what? To love your enemies? Now, before we go any further, I think a definition of enemies is required because we don't really use that word to describe people anymore. What Jesus is talking about here is those people that just do everything that they can to be spiteful to you, to be rude, hateful comments towards you, who just get on your every last nerve. The people that you don't like just as much as they don't like you, those are the people that Jesus is talking about here. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have at least one person in your life who you can think about right now who just tries everything that they can to get on your nerves. A sibling doesn't count. Now, Jesus is telling us to take that person who does all of these things to us and put their life above our own life. That's a hard and that's a big request from Jesus. Not a request, a commandment from Jesus. And when we see something like that, to love your enemies, we should stop right there and take a second to think about what that really means. Because we know that what the word love means, and we know what our enemies are. That's big. That's really difficult. But the people of the day would have been just as shocked as we should be when we read this. Think about what happens in Matthew 5. When Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount, he mentions what the saying was at the time, which was, love your neighbor, but what? But hate your enemy. That's what the Pharisees were teaching, those that all the Jews respected and trusted in their teaching. They told you to hate your enemies. So when Jesus says to love your enemies, that's completely opposite to what they've learned their whole lives. It was a hard request for them as well, and Jesus knew that. So when he commanded us to do that, he doesn't just give us freedom to choose how we're going to love our enemies. He gives us step-by-step instructions on what is required in loving our enemies and putting their lives and their needs before our own. The first thing that he says in verse 27 after love your enemies is to do good to those who hate you. Now, lots of times, and I've been guilty of this myself, is you think just because you're ignoring someone who's being mean to you, you're kind of putting them in a corner off to the side, you're not being mean back, you're not responding with hateful comments, you're just ignoring them. You think that's good enough. That's showing love to your enemy because you're not being hateful back to them. But that's not enough. Jesus tells us to take that a lot further and just ignoring them, but also to be doing good for them. So yes, we are to ignore the bad things that they say, but we're also to be going out of our way to do good deeds for that person that has been so hateful towards us. Now, Jesus isn't just commanding us to go and give them thousands of dollars because they were rude to us. It can be something as small as getting a cup of coffee for them on your way to work and giving it to them when you see them. I mean, small good deeds leave impressions on people who have been nothing but mean and spiteful towards you. And how would you feel if you were insulting a person for as long as you've known them and they kept on being kind and giving you things and doing good things? You'd be like, why? Are you crazy? Tell me what is it? And doing these things that Jesus commands us as we are loving those people open doors of opportunity for study and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ as we do these good deeds for those who do not like us at all. But Jesus continues. He goes in verse 28 to bless those who curse you. Now imagine right now that you're in an argument with someone. They're insulting you. They're just being absolutely hateful. What's your first reaction? When you're just so mad, you feel the heat inside of you. You're going to want to yell right back. Want to say just as mean things because you want to do as much damage as they've done to you. But what good does that do? We're supposed to be shining Christ's light in the world. So not only when we yell these bad things back to this person, are we losing that opportunity with them and just absolutely, totally ignoring Jesus' commandments, but anyone else who heard us yelling these bad things towards this person in this argument, do you think they're going to respect you when you come to them and say, hey, Jesus told us to love our enemies. We need to be more loving in this society. No. No one's going to listen to that. You're going to be a hypocrite. But Jesus tells us in that heat of the moment, when we're wanting to yell back these bad things towards this person, Jesus says, bless them. Be kind to them. Compliment them. But that's hard because we want to justify ourselves with our words. But Jesus doesn't tell us to justify ourselves. We know that God is the one who does the judging and the justifying. He tells us to bless that person in that heat of the moment, to be kind. How shocked would you be if you were yelling insults at someone and they said, you look really good today? Some of you would be really shocked. I mean, that's crazy. Who does that? And then they'd be, why did you say these kind things to me when I was being nothing but mean to you? Because I love you. Jesus Christ told me to love you. And so why would I want to hurt your feelings? Why would I want to do that? Boom. Another opportunity to study and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to that person. But he continues. And this one is a little bit weird. I had to think about this for a moment and study. Why would we need to do this? What's important about this next one? Pray for those who spitefully use you. Why? Well, there are lots of reasons that we should pray for those who spitefully use us. But you could say to yourself, why would I want to pray for someone who's so mean to me when I have so many other important things that need prayed for? We have our leaders in this country who definitely need our prayers. We have our brethren all over the world who are struggling to worship because they're not allowed. We have the sick. We have those under surgery, giving birth, so many other important things. Why does this person who's mean to me matter? Because you have to think, where would you be right now if no one in your life loved you enough to spread the gospel to you? Whether it was your family, a friend, or who knows? Where would you be? You'd probably be in the exact same position as that person who's being so mean to you is right now. So in praying for this person, it helps us to realize that that is a person who needs Jesus Christ just as much as we need Jesus Christ to see them as a person. Because we're taking time out of our prayers to prioritize this person. And it helps us to see their needs and to love them even more. What kinds of things could we pray about for them? We could pray that through our good example, their hearts are open and that they will openly listen to Jesus Christ's gospel. That they are willing to come to Him. And that through all of these things that Jesus is commanding us to do, we can spread His word, and that that person can go from an adversary to a brother. These are the types of things that we must pray for this person. And there are lots of benefits to this. And it's not something that's hard to add into your daily life, is praying for that person. It's as simple as adding a few sentences, but it changes a lot. Now, so far, what we've seen in these few verses are mostly emotional hatred, verbal, and manipulation. But Jesus doesn't stop simply at saying, when people are unkind to you, you must be loving to them. He goes way further and takes it into the physical realm in verse 29 when he says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. Wow. Imagine you're getting hit in the face right now. In the world that we live in, you would almost be dumb not to hit them back. Because you've just been unfairly treated. So what's the right thing for you to do? To hit them right back. Make it even, right? That's what being self-centered would be, the first reaction. Would be hit them right back. When someone slaps you in the face, they are obviously showing you how much they hate and disrespect not only what you've said or just done, but you yourself. So when these people are showing you this ultimate sign of disrespect by slapping you in the face, what does Jesus tell us to do? Not the obvious retortion of slapping them back. But Jesus says when they show you the ultimate disrespect physically, you show them the ultimate sign of love physically. Turn the other cheek. Now, if none of these other things have shocked this person, if you got slapped and turned the other cheek, now that would get someone's attention. Why would you not slap me? Why did you not fight back? And what a wonderful response it would be to be able to say, because Jesus Christ told me to love you. And I love you so much. There's not a single part of me that would want to bring any harm to you. How impactful would that be on that person? But then we continue in verse 29. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. So if someone takes something from you, they're expecting that if you find out, you're going to angrily come and get it back. I mean, that's just what everyone would expect you to do. But there are two situations that we could look into in this part right here. Let's say that the person who stole from you is genuinely in need. They take your jacket because they don't have a house. They're going home cold every night. You go and find them. They're expecting you to be angry at them. But what would happen to them if you offered them a scarf as well? They'd be like, why? I took your stuff and you're offering me more? Okay, let's say the person is just stealing genuinely out of spite because they don't like you. They take your sandwich while you're eating it. And you offer them your drink as well. I mean, how crazy is that? You took my sandwich out of my hands, so you must be thirsty when you're done. Here's a drink. I mean, they would be shocked by that. I mean, I would be shocked by that. That's the type of thing that Jesus is telling us to do. To look for opportunities when people do bad things to us, to show them that we love them by not responding with evil, but with good. Then it says something interesting in verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you. Lots of people like to be stingy with their things, whether it's their money, their snacks, whatever it is. But we're told to give to whoever needs. Give to whoever asks, not even if they need. Expecting nothing in return, as we see as we go through. And it says in verse 30, whoever takes from you, do not ask back. He's not saying to give in expectance of more in return, but to give freely, without caring, because you love them. What do these things do that we've just looked over? Not fighting back. Not wanting to get your things back, but giving more. When we do these things, we're showing this person, and we are able to tell this person, that there's nothing you can do to me, and there's nothing in this physical world that you could take from me that matters more to me than your eternal soul does. That's what Jesus is wanting us to show to this person by doing these things. That the only thing that really matters to me is your eternal soul. And that is what should matter to us when we come across these people. As we realize that they are in need of Jesus Christ just as much as we were and still are in our day-to-day life. But we continue in verse 31, a very familiar passage. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Now in verse 31, I'm sure we've all heard this at some point in our life. People who don't even believe in God use this as a golden rule. I've heard it many times. Do to others what you want them to do to you. Unfortunately, as popular as this verse is, it's also been misused just as many times as it's been properly used. I've heard and personally know of many people who use this verse as an excuse. They treated me with evil, so that means that's what they want to be treated with, right? So according to Jesus, that's an excuse to treat them just as badly as they treat me. It's all good. No. When Jesus says this, he's giving each individual person their own responsibility to treat everyone with the love that they wish they were treated with. Even that person who's treating you with nothing but hatred, you need to show them the love that you wish that they would show you. That's what Jesus is saying when he does this. But why? What's important about doing this? So he goes on to describe it. If you're loving all of those who love you, what's different about you? You know how easy it is to love people that show nothing but love and do good deeds to you? It's easy. Everyone in the world loves those who are loving and kind to them. Even your enemy has people that love him and that he loves. So nobody's going to notice the difference in that. He goes on, even if you lend to people, to the people that you know will give you the money back, everyone does that. That's not different. If you expect someone to give you everything back, then it's easy to lend money to that person. So nobody will notice the difference. But when we still show that love to people that hate us, that's when people will know the difference. Now, it's absolutely important that we love those who love us. That's not what I'm saying here. But no one will notice. It's normal. But when we show that same love to someone who does nothing but evil towards us, that is when people will say, "That's weird. Why did he do that?" And that's when you've opened doors to opportunity to study. When you give to those who you know have no chance of giving back, they may be poor or whatever, bad with their money, it doesn't matter. When you give to people who you don't expect to give back, people are going to notice, why'd you give to that guy? He's not able to give back. Because I love him. Because what I have doesn't matter as much as what he needs. Those are the things that people will notice, and that is what Jesus is telling us to do, and why he's telling us to do that in verse 31. But finally, we get to verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. So when Jesus says something once, he commands something once, we know it's important. And we better decide right then to obey that commandment. But when Jesus says something twice in the same paragraph, such as love your enemies, then you know you better absolutely be paying attention to what he has just said. But when Jesus says something as many times as he says to love your enemies, as the New Testament says it, then you can absolutely be assured that if you are not loving your enemies, then you are not fulfilling your duties as a Christian. Because you are unwilling to show that love that Jesus Christ showed to you to people who are mean to you. Think about Jesus when he was going down to the cross. What were all of these people doing to him? Spitting on him, beating him, mocking him. All of these things that we've just been commanded to ignore, Jesus himself had to ignore, but way worse than we will ever have to worry about. He's not asking us to do something that he has not himself already done. And yet, when all of these people were doing these things to him, when they were literally nailing him to the cross, he still loved them enough to die for them. He died for those people that were being mean to him. They were these terrible people. Those are the ones he died for. And so when you think, oh, this is impossible, nobody can do this, Jesus did it. He's not telling you to do something. He would not ask you to do something that he himself has not done. And he's shown us that it is very possible to do it. And if you think about the minor persecutions that we go through today, it's almost embarrassing that we haven't been showing that love to our enemies. It's absolutely necessary that we show the love that Jesus showed to all of mankind, to those who dislike us. And it's easy for me to get up here and say that. It's easy for you right now to hear, love your enemies. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But when it gets hard is when we actually leave here and go throughout our week and we interact with those people who we would consider our enemies. It's in those moments that we need to remember what Jesus has commanded us and what he has done for us. As we go throughout this next week, I want you right now to think about that person who just gets on your nerves, who does everything that they can to make your day a little worse. You may know who you have in your head. You may be able to see them this week. But it is your Christian responsibility to go out of your way and do something kind for that person, to show them that you care about them. And so as we go throughout this next week, I heavily encourage you to do that, to think of that person. Find ways that you can do some good towards them, to show them the love that Christ showed you. Let's conclude this morning with a brief word of prayer. Most gracious and awesome Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful morning and opportunity that we have had to come together and study your word and bring glory to your name. We pray that everything that has been said and done so far this morning was holy and acceptable in your sight. Please be with us as we continue to worship you today and remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. And as we go throughout this next week, help us to do as you've commanded us and show great love to all of those who hate us. And in doing so, we pray that we bring glory to your awesome name. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.